All right, so my name is Madeline Culkin. It's February 22nd, or 27th of 2022. It's about 12:30, and we're at the Fintel Library on the Roanoke College campus. And I'm here interviewing Elle Saunders. So if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself, your name, where you grew up, how old you are.
Well, as you said, my name is Elle Saunders. I grew up over in Blacksburg, not far down the road, and basically was there until I took off for college to go to Richmond, and I'm currently just turned 36, so yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So growing up in Blacksburg, do you think that had an impact at all on being a part of the LGBTQ community?
Yeah, definitely so. Growing up here, so I was like in elementary school in the 90s and then graduated early 2000s, and I would say the climate around here was very different, even though now you still really feel sort of like the rural influence, I guess, of like how people are allowed to be gay or allowed to be queer in like certain spaces. I would definitely say that for me, growing up here, it just wasn't even really presented as an option. I would say it was like a really big influence that it wasn't like, it was sort of a thing that people would refer to, but there was like a very small sort of like, you know, ally club.
And then,
it was very rural in that way. And so I feel like for me, it was like, I didn't, anything that now I really see like beauty in my queerness and like how I identify, I like would ascribe to other things, I think, because of being in a rural place and because of the way people treated, you know, just like the even the idea that someone would be, you know, a queer person. So it was like deeply impactful, and I think ultimately just made it so I was moving through differently until I was in spaces where I was around other queer folks and could have conversations. And that really took a long time. Like, I think it normalized for me just like thinking parts about myself were attributed to something else and not my queerness. I would say maybe it's like a more crystallized way to put
that.
That's
super interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said you went back and forth to Blacksburg?
So I went away to school. Undergrad was in Richmond. I was an art school kid. So, all the joys of that. And then was back for a little bit and then went to grad school in London. And then came back again. So I've kind of like done stints here and there. But very recently came back and have been here for a couple years. And like the last couple years is the first time that I've actually been here and been out and like been, you know, in queer spaces and like really much more confident in my own queerness. Like, it really took me a while to come around to like acknowledging and sharing and feeling like I was celebrating it and not just being kind of confused about like what was going on for me or, you know.
Right.
And I do think growing up here was deeply influential in that way. My sister is also queer, and we've talked a lot about it in recent years of just like how easy it is to just ignore and like, tell yourself that you're fine with other options or like you're, you know, like it's not whatever, it's okay. Like, but I think like being back, especially, and being able to be queer here has been, to be honest, it's just been really healing and like sacred, because it's like, I look around and I see all the reasons why it's still hard for people in this area. And it feels really good, like, to see things like this happening and to see people celebrating it and making like very public declarations of like the beauty of it, you know? So it makes it special, honestly. Yeah.
Do you think there was any space that you felt like the most comfortable in or the most open in that really made you recognize your queerness? So you were in London and going to Richmond.
I mean, I think it's a slow burn, right? Like, we are who we are. Like, and I think that there were always moments of recognition that there was something about myself that didn't fall in line with like what had been prescribed to me. And so I've lived a life where I moved a lot, and I've lived a life that's like less quote unquote conventional, right? Like, my relationships have always looked different. And now I see like they were queer. Like, even if they presented like as not queer to other people, they were queer, right? So like understanding what that means and getting to be around people. I would say like, you know, my work ultimately like brought me into places, well, I kept choosing places that were like resistance oriented or like mutual aid groups or, you know, spaces like that where people were really just like welcoming and inclusive. And I got to ask questions about gender, and I got to ask questions about, how do we relate to each other? So I think it was, it's vague, but it's like, there were so many little moments, I think, along the way until, you know, finally it was just like, well, either I live my life or I don't, and I'm going to live my life. Like, exactly. it stopped being a thing that could not be addressed. It was just like, well, here we are, you know. Yeah. And it was joyful, right? It was like, oh God, like it makes sense now. Like everything makes sense. And yeah.
I think that's important, seeing that comparison, especially coming back to mm-hmm. Blacksburg and being able to like recognize everything that you were uncomfortable with or you just didn't recognize, and now being able to compare it to who you are today. I think that's
yeah.
super
or like
powerful.
Or felt judged by, right? Like the pieces of me that I was told either like explicitly or subtly aren't acceptable, right, for like who I am, and being able to just be like, nah, that's still really cool, it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So do you think your family was, like, did your family have an impact on mm-hmm. you coming back to Blacksburg?
Yeah, for sure, in certain ways. So my mom and stepdad, I just call my dad, they're both still here, and yeah, like having connections to the community feels really important to me. I've been pretty deeply involved in the pipeline resistance struggles here, and documenting, like doing documentation work. And I think that's actually just a really clear space I could say that has like let me be excited about like having more queer folks in the area. Like that's an area where I was just like, I feel good here, you know.
Good.
So yeah, but yeah, my parents are here, and I just feel a very deep connection to like the physical space of the mountains here, and like having grown up here and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you said that you're a photographer and a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and that the pipeline is what made you come back here. So would you say you do more activism film work or nature, or do you ever
yeah.
film or photograph subjects?
All the time. It's mostly documentary work. I had a stint in D.C., and I've done, you know, corporate jobs that let me, like, pay my rent stuff. And I always find what I love about it is that you get to, like, be introduced into people's worlds in a, like, very intimate way. And, like, very often I get to, like, be around people who are, you know, very, for whatever reason, they're, like, excited to share their life with me, or, like, someone wants them to, and so they're doing it. But, like, I just, that sort of... I would say most of my stories have been, like the self-chosen ones, have been a lot about organizing spaces and resistance spaces, but also just like community and like what we do for each other, which I think also ultimately I've realized is very tied into like what I don't think I had as a kid, or like what I didn't really feel, and wanting to tell stories where like people get to see like how special that is. So, yeah.
And do you think your queerness or your sexuality has shaped that work and expression? Like, are there certain instances where you've definitely noticed it in your work?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the physicality of my job on any given day, I think, like, I feel like it does sort of push against these, like, gender norms that we're given about, like, what work should look like for certain people, or even, like, media making for women filmmakers, or for, you know, femme folks, like... What are you allowed to do in what space? Like, I interact on frontline spaces quite a bit where there's, like, a lot of, you know, cops who, like, bro out and, like, will just kind of put you in this category of being someone that doesn't, you know, can be handled in a certain way. And so I let them. Like, I'm like, okay, you can think what you want. Like, this is fine. I'll use this to my advantage. But, like, it's funny because now I see the sort of, like, power dynamics of it. And, like, I think because I've had to interrogate and, like, fight for my queerness, I feel so much more comfortable letting people assume what they want and moving the way I need to anyway, if that makes sense. And I think that's deeply in my work. Like, I see it everywhere, you know, of like, I'm here because I'm curious, but also because I'm kind of used to being misinterpreted. You know, like, I present, or even in queer spaces, you know, like, I present a certain way, I think, sometimes, and I felt people sort of dismiss, like, different pieces, and I think as I've gotten more comfortable, it's bothered me less. But like, I think that a sort of tension of like who we know we are and who people see us as, I think I find myself also looking for that, like in the stories I tell, of like, complicating things and letting like layers move and letting people feel what they want to feel from it. So yeah, deeply there. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are there any photographers or artists that have like influenced your work the most, do you think? Is there anyone that you look up to? And like?
Oh gosh, I would have made a good list. I'm so bad. My ADHD is like, ah! yeah, so many. Jeez. Gosh, it makes me want to like email you after with like my favorite things. Well, so recently I think like I've really enjoyed looking at like the Highlander Center and like Appalachian projects because there's such a great legacy of documented resistance here and of like clearly queer stories that feel really special and cool to me and feel very much like things that I felt around me but weren't talked about directly, I guess, is how I would describe that. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like all the documentation of the coal mine wars and the mine strikes and just stuff like that, like all, I think that all has been deeply influential around here for like the pipeline stuff that I'm working on. And then like in a wider context, yeah, like there's different photographers over the years that have meant Gilles Perez is a photographer that I really loved when I first started, and more so for like the trajectory. Like he started off as a war photographer, which somehow I thought that's what I wanted to do because it's what you see. But as he grew older and as he got out of like the war zone spaces, he started making just like really beautiful collective work, and so I like really identified with that arc of like thinking you needed to do it one way and then like transforming through it and realizing I actually want to do this a little differently. But I've also just like been deeply influenced by like friends and like colleagues and collaborators of mine. Doing my MA in London was like deeply influential in that way. And I had a handful of folks, so I really felt like pushed me in a direction that I wouldn't have gone otherwise. And like let me ask the kind of questions that kind of tore apart like the hierarchy of like storytelling that we're handed of like making one thing more important or something less important, you know, just sort of like the predictable ways of talking about stuff. So yeah, it's not many people, but it's many.
That's okay. You can think of others too.
References.
We can always go back to it. But I know that's hard. Pinpointing like certain people
on the spot, right?
And there's
yeah.
So many influential people.
And I changed. Like I've just had so many people who I feel like I like quietly carry with me of like their work. I think about them a lot, and like they'll come in at like different moments, and I'm like, oh yeah, that reminds me of that. But yeah.
Like you said, you have people that are within that work. Do you think that the people that you surround yourself with has changed as you've like grown? And do you think that it's become more, like I know that you talk about the dichotomy and like realizing what has changed from being younger and being like less open about yourself and like mm-hmm. opening up back in Blacksburg, but do you feel like there are certain communities that you've kind of felt the most in touch with or certain issues that you feel like you can connect with people the most on? It doesn't have to be like queer related, but
yeah. I think part of what helped me be more accepting or acknowledge myself, and I don't feel like I was ever hiding. I think I just didn't ask more, right? Like it wasn't like I was like ashamed of anything. I just sort of thought like, well, you know, like it is what it is, and it wasn't like I didn't interrogate it that much. But I do feel like for sure like, you know, a lot of these spaces that are more like mutual aid oriented or like organizing oriented, they just tend to be more queer, you know, like it ends up being folks who just are like have asked these questions of themselves too. And so it's not, yeah, there's like less posturing of like needing to be a certain person. I don't know. I mean, I think industry wise there's challenges. So like, I've made good friends in the professional space, but there's a lot of things that you get asked to do as a storyteller that really rub me the wrong way of like, kind of like, well, you know, you guys were saying, which I love, like, we want you to be comfortable. And if there's anything you don't want to talk about, like, that wasn't something they taught me like in journalism school, which is disgusting. Like I think this whole issue of like consent or like how we interact with people, there's things that in my professional world have been harder to find, but I have ultimately found communities in that. and really felt like, oh my God, like so grateful that we can like interrogate this and have this conversation, or like talk about how do we make work that looks different. Like right now I'm working on a podcast about the pipeline with a friend who I've wanted to collaborate with for ages. And being able to work with people who have really asked themselves, like, what am I really saying about this? It's just like, it's beautiful. Like, it's so much fun. It's such a different process of like making, you know, it's just cool. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you brought up the fact that it just wasn't acknowledged. Like, you might have known it about yourself, but it wasn't like, there wasn't that knowledge, I guess, or the idea of looking into it. It was just what it was. And I think that goes back to like growing up in the 80s, 90s, 2000, like, do you think that the internet and coming out with like being able to look at things and really recognize other viewpoints, do you think that influenced you being able to like look at yourself and see what you considered important or valuable?
Yeah, it just was so different. Like, it's hard to even articulate. Like, yeah, I mean, sure. Like, I remember Ellen being on the cover of Time, and that was a big deal. I remember people talking in hushed tones about the fact that there was, like, a lesbian on TV, you know? Like this is the shit that makes me feel old. I don't know. Sorry. trying to do that. But it's, like, I think about those moments, and I think about, you know, the struggle for like visibility and for marriage, right? Like, that was a huge, huge fight. I remember, you know, when they projected the rainbow, it's like there definitely have been moments where like you see things pushing forward and you see things happening. I was a little young for the AIDS pandemic, but as I've gotten older, the gravity of that and the gravity of the fact that like a lot of the elders that we would have you know, went through horrific things and we lost a lot of people. And I think that impact is sinking in more as I get older about like what that is to lose the history and what that is to have. And also just the stigma that went with it of like people having to be even more hushed and like fight for like the most basic, like health, right? Like just access to be able to be with a partner, you know? And so I think I've like learned to appreciate that more. Yeah, there's so much. There's one anecdote that I actually really feel like is good to share, which is like, I remember we had an assembly at one point. I think I was probably a junior in high school at this point. So that would have meant, yeah, like the very early years of the 2000s, like the first 4 years of the 2000s. And it was basically like an inclusivity assembly, right? Like they wanted to tell stories about like, why is racism bad? Why is homophobia bad? And like show, yeah, right? Show people who were not like the thing that you're supposed to be around here. And at the end, it was like a traveling group. And at the end, they like were like, does anyone have questions? And there was a kid that stood up and, you know, like a local kid. He had like a big old like Confederate belt buckle. Like it was the stereotype of like, you know, the folks around here in a certain way. And I didn't know him particularly well. I knew of him. But he basically said, you know, to the whole auditorium full of kids, like, y'all know that like being gay is a sin and they're going to go to hell. You're all going to go to hell. And you know, like, it's like hard to... It's hard to even fathom that playing out now. Like, it's hard to fathom. He didn't get reprimanded. Like, there was no sort of, like, they didn't handle it well afterwards because I don't even remember what they did. But I remember that moment so specifically. And it was like a very unveiled threat of, like, you're not going to be safe here if I know, right? And, like, a lot of people felt that way. And so I think, like, it's really obvious, like, why people didn't come out like that, if that was the prevalent thing. And even, you know, like, even, you know, people using the word fag, like, it was just nothing, you know? Like that was just rolling around everywhere at that time. And, like, that was, like, a really common insult, you know? And, like, if you didn't want to date someone, like, I had people say, like, oh, what are you, lesbian? You know, like, just, like, really wild shit that, like, people don't say that stuff now, as far as I know. Or they get yeeted, which they should, you know? Like... So anyway, but like, I just think that curve of like visibility and the curve of normalcy and like the people that have struggled and like stuff like this, right? Just like making it be like, nah, like it's always been here and it's always been beautiful and it's always been magical. Like, you guys need to work on your stuff. Like, we're good over here. I just, yeah, I think like...
So you've definitely seen a shift.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Like in personal, but also like wider. Like it's... yeah, there's so many parallels for sure. Yeah.
Interesting. And you did mention, like you talked about the Ellen being on Times and everything. Yeah. You talked about seeing, and I know that Time is like this assimilation of heteronormativity. Mm. And do you, like, I know an important thing was same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And talking about that, do you have any views on that? Like, what are your beliefs with that?
About being able to marry? Mm-hmm. I mean, I find the institution, like, kind of just outdated and wonky and not for me. But, I think, like, stripping people of rights that they want or, like, a sacred thing that they want is disgusting. I have no patience for it at all.
Good.
Bigotry can die. that can be printed bold anywhere you want. I'm fine with it.
Do you remember the first you heard of, like, an LGBTQ community? Do you remember your first, like, first being open to that idea? Or, like, when you were first affected by it? Was it at,
like,
that
time?
Like,
knowing gay people? Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, it was, like, referred to in a very Southern way, right? Like, oh, I think they're a friend. You know, like, the way people kind of, like, skirt over things or, like, you know, looking back, like, there were people in my life where it was just sort of, like, alluded to that they were queer, I don't remember specifically, like, that moment or, like, having sort of an acknowledgement of it. It was just sort of, like, yeah, it was always the allusion to. It felt very Southern, honestly. It just was, like, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And have you ever... You said it felt very Southern. Have you ever, like, experienced going up north, maybe, or somewhere else? Like, have you had those experiences other places where you think you see those comparisons still today, or, like, dichotomy still today, or...?
What I notice and what I feel is, like, I've spent a lot of time in the Southwest and in Tucson, particularly in Arizona, doing work on, like, border issues and stuff related to that, and the community there is pretty radical, and there's, like, a lot of queer folks, and... being in that space and talking to people about their sort of, like, experiences of growing up, you know, some of my better friends have shared, like, what it was like for them, and a lot of them grew up in the Northeast, and for some reason there's, like, this, like, strong relationship between those places, or the Northwest, like, Portland area, but hearing them talk about how, you know, like, my experience of that assembly, like, they've gasped. They're like, that, you know, that, and where I grew up, like, it was just normal. Like, everybody, you know, could do what they wanted. And, like, just seeing actually that there's, like, there is a layer of privilege in being able to just be yourself from the jump, right? And, like, that struggle of, like, of feeling sort of, like, mismatched and not knowing what to do with it. Like, the effort it takes to, like, keep going. I think that's, like, one of the bigger things I felt from people that aren't Southern. And I would actually say it's, like, it feels like geography, because I have a lot of friends who are from different areas, and it's just not, that was not their experience. Like, and there's still a lot of my friends who are Southern, who are, like, closer in my age range, who are, like, just came out later, you know? Like, it just feels like it hit pause for a lot of us of, like, you know, there may be a point when you have to address it, or maybe you won't, and that's okay, too. Like, we all do what we need to do, but it just does feel like something about Southern culture asks you to, like, be pleasant about it and just keep it moving and until it becomes insufferable or, like, weird enough for you that you're, like, like, something is wrong. You're like, this can't be, you know? So I don't know. I don't know how other people would describe it, but it feels Southern to me.
Interesting. Yeah. And you talked about that feeling the need to push through it and, like, get through it and try to understand everything, like, feeling those boundaries. Do you think did that affect how you view things today? Or, like, do you think it affects your relationships today? Like, has it pushed you to become more forward thinking and, like, move through those boundaries today as well?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I mentioned earlier my ADHD brain. The comfort that I've had to find in myself to be openly queer, especially around here, has helped me ask other questions about ways that I have been, like, what's up with this, you know? And, like, be gentler with myself and realize, like, my differences aren't negatives, right? They're things that are going to lead me to, like, more of things that are going to see me and I'm going to see. Like, it's definitely felt like a really, I don't know, like this extra sort of, like, boost of being able to move in a way that feels like I'm finally, like, I have, like, alignment in like, a lot of different ways that was missing, and I didn't even know it. Like, it's just this kind of, like, what is this about? Like, why does this feel weird? And I feel like, yeah, I attribute my queerness to a lot of that, like, asking good questions, and I've always been that way. I've always been really curious, so, like, just kind of insatiable. But I do think that, like, in a certain way, it's made me gentler. It's made me less, like, oh, I'm going to do it, and more, like, this could be really nice if I just, like, let this roll through and, like, see what it wants to be.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh,
cool. So I talked a little bit about growing up during that era.
Yeah.
And the idea of the politics of this equality. Were there any times where you were seeing, maybe, like, in Roanoke specifically or in Blacksburg, were there any events, like, did you hear of the Pride Festivals, the first Pride Festival being in Roanoke?
Pride was sort of, like, touted as, like, a hedonistic thing that people did in other places. Like, it was, like, just taboo. Like, a lot of queer spaces felt just kind of taboo, and that, like, yeah, like, almost like you would, you'd be stuck with it. Like, the kids that were open about their sexuality or about their identities really took heat, and, like, I can't imagine the courage, you know, like, I think about being able to sit down with them sometimes and just be like, I want to hear more about, like, what your experience was of this and, like, you know, like, how did people treat you and what was that like? Because I saw, like, the adjacent sort of thing and, yeah, I don't know. I think there was just, like, a very open sort of hostility towards anything that, like, even alluded to someone being queer. It just was really... it wasn't hidden. People were, like, not tolerant, you know? Or it was a joke. It was a gag. And, like, yeah, you were, like, outside. It became deviant very quickly, so.
That's interesting. Yeah. Especially because Blacksburg is not that far away from Roanoke where
no,
these
you
changes
would...
were happening. So you would think that it wasn't...
And tech, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Blacksburg is a bubble in that way of, like, all these, like, forward, you know, they like to think of themselves as, like, forward-minded folks, but... it just was pretty stuck. Like, it really was a different time.
That definitely goes back to the geography as well that you were talking about before.
Mm, yeah.
So that's super interesting.
Yeah.
Another event that I know we have talked about a little bit, but I know that was super important in some people's lives, is the Backstreet Cafe shooting, the gay bar in Roanoke in 2000. Mm-hmm. Did you hear of that at all, or was it the same situation?
Vaguely. Vaguely. And I think, like, it was more like, oh, a gay bar got shot. Like, it wasn't... people held it, like, really horribly. Like, it wasn't acknowledged as, like, the horrific thing that it was. And actually, I've learned much more about it since than when I was here, which also says everything, right? And why these kinds of projects matter, because so much history gets erased because of people's desire to make it seem like it didn't happen or to make it seem like it didn't matter, right? It's, like, part of why I do what I do. Well, not part of. It's a big part of why I do what I do, because I know that... it's easy for people to be like, well, if it's not documented, it didn't happen. And I'm like, well, that's not happening anymore. So, yeah.
Wanting to push further, wanting to...
for sure.
See all
yeah, like,
of
we
it.
Were here. You know, we've been here. Like, that kind of thing. Or, like, this was deeply influential in this... it's deeply tied to creating community safety for people and for acknowledging, like, what it is to be yourself, and especially in a rural place. Yeah.
Have you had any... interactions with youth in the area? Like, have you seen maybe where you grew up or in middle school and high school? I know you talked about how it was kind of taboo to even talk about it, but
yeah.
Do you know anything about the area today that you think it has changed how they come out maybe as LGBTQ or queer? I don't know if you do, but...
yeah, I think I have people in my life who are younger and who are going through school or have gone through school, and it seems much better from what they've told me. I think even in the last 10 years, right, like, there's been a big shift. I think there's just, like, a lot of, for whatever reason, like, people being able to communicate and reach out, you know, like, having more accessibility to places outside of here. It's given people, like, a literal lifeline in a lot of moments where they get to see themselves reflected back and not be afraid of it and realize, like, it's a good thing, right? Like, it's a special thing. So I do feel like culturally, like, there has been a shift even in Blacksburg and, like, in this area. I'm in Floyd now, so that's a different bucket, but there's beautiful things happening everywhere, I'll say that. Like, I people are making spaces that are safe and are like, you know, the magic of queerness, and they're happening all over, so.
And you talk about how you've seen these shifts, and, like, that's super important. Is there anything that you've seen that you think still needs to be talked about or worked on, especially for people part of the queer community or just in general?
Yeah. I mean, this is a tough area still, I think, to be visibly queer. I think you definitely get, or I feel it, like, days when I'm like presenting like more mask or something, like, folks will treat me really differently if I go into the gas station, you know. It's like subtle things that I'm just like, you know, or like, it's a lot about presentation, and I think also just like the way the like acceptability of queerness around here, there's a pretty narrow margin, I think, of what people want. They do love the person, not the sin, or whatever they say. It's like really offensive crap. I think the morality that gets assigned to it is gross and very tied to like how the dogma of religion around here really dictates a lot of the like social expectations. So it's like if you're a God-fearing, hard-working person, you couldn't possibly also be gay, you know? And just really like pushing back against that, and like the visibility is huge for that, right? Like if you know someone who you see living a life that you admire and you respect, and they're also openly queer, it's gonna make you question things, like most people, not everyone, but like stuff like that I think is like really important. And you know, like I know that a lot of people are doing work to support queer youth and make sure like there are resources, because around here it still means you could get kicked out, or you know, like there's a lot of folks who they can't risk being openly queer, you know, especially in their homes growing up. So it's like a requirement to leave, and a lot of people who leave because being queer here is still just too hard, and they can't find the kind of community that's going to let them thrive, you know. So that feels sad. It feels sad because it's like not only are people having to leave a place they probably love in certain ways, but also like it means the folks who are bigoted and who are stuck in like these like fear-minded ways of being, it's really hard to know like how to address it or to like to hold the tension of all that. Like no one wants to be the person that gets abused because they're trying to be themselves. It's totally nuts. So yeah, I don't know.
Is there anything, like, is there an overarching message that you guess you wish you knew and that you wish that like other people could know now? Like, is there something that you think has definitely been something you want others to know?
It's a great question.
It's okay if not.
It's a big question. There's so many things. I feel like my queerness has been a gift to like trust myself the most I ever have, because the more I've trusted it, the better my life has gotten. And I think that's just incredible that like there could be something like when you welcome yourself. I feel like it's been a process, like not just like, you know, metaphorically. I'm sorry to do this as a story. I'm such a nerd, but. Both physically and metaphorically, like a coming home to myself, right? It's like the more I do, the more I'm like, oh, I'm here. Like this has always been here. I would love for a kid who's struggling in a place like I grew up to, who feels unseen, to like know that like whatever is in them is the right thing. Like whatever is there is the truth, and whatever is there is special and like deserves a safe place. And if it's not where you are, then go somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, if you can, go. Like, there's no wrong way to do it, and there's no wrong thing, as long as you know that you're special in that way. Like, yeah. Yeah.
idea of self-recognition and not pushing things away.
Yeah, and just, like, trusting that and trusting, like, every feeling that comes through you and every desire that you have and every sort of, like, piece about you that you question. There's something important there. There's, like, really something behind that, and there's, like, a way... there's a way to be that, like, lets it all kind of, like, work. Like, it'll shake out, you know? Just, like, keep trusting it. Yeah.
Interesting. Thanks. So you talked about a little bit about people that influenced your work. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there are any pieces that have really stuck out to you in general? It doesn't have to be related to queerness or anything like that, but is there any aspect of your work that you think has really stuck with you the most? That's a hard question. Big question.
Yeah. It's funny, like, not everyone goes to school like I did for it, and I think it was good and bad in certain ways. For a time, I thought I wanted to, like, be in gallery spaces and maybe academia, and, you know, I just wasn't quite sure where I wanted to go with it. But I think it is also tied into that, of just that, like, If you're making work that you feel invigorated by, it's gonna be good work. But there's gonna be, like, plenty of opportunities to make terrible work, and people will want to pay you a lot for it. And, like, just being discerning about, like, what lets you like keep going longer term. I don't know. Everyone has different goals for, like, why they make things. I hold my work as, like, an artistic practice, and I think that, like, some would argue in a journalistic space especially that that's, like, not kosher, you know, like, it's not a cool thing to do, but it's, like, well, I think for me, like, it lets me make things that I feel like offer stuff, whereas if I'm just showing up for an assignment, it just feels really different. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a very roundabout way of just saying, like, there's a lot of ways, I think, that work and just generally, like, society asks you to do something because they think it's the right thing to do. And it's okay to do those things if you want, but also, like, there's a lot of other cool things that you can make happen and can be really fulfilling, and you'll find other people that want that too. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
This is kind of going backwards, but we talked a little bit about your childhood.
Yeah.
I know we talk sometimes about how high school is the biggest time of you, like, accepting yourself or realizing yourself.
Yeah.
Were there any points in that time that you think you were like, oh, well, this makes so much more sense? Or do you think you had to wait till later on in order to realize kind of what was the truth underlying?
Related to queerness or just generally?
Generally, whatever. Queerness.
High school is not that for me. You know, there's a lot of different reasons why high school is not that for me. College was not that for me. I feel like it took probably until my MA or, like, being in London that I really found my stride. I attribute that to a lot of different things. My queerness actually came after London. Like, my queerness wasn't really until, I don't know, like, 6 or 7 years ago. So it was like once I started, you know, like, being able to see myself in London, it was like after that, you know, I came back home and I was like, well, who am I now here? And I think that really catalyzed a lot of me being in different spaces, like we've been talking about, and finding communities that felt better. And then looking around and being like, wow, it's really... this is different than what I used to want to do, and, like, you know, like, I'm just a strong ally, kind of like, huh, you know, like, there's some stuff to ask about this, or, like, you know, the desires I've always had, like, maybe they're not just, like, thoughts, right? Like, maybe I want this for myself, and maybe there's a lot of stuff that I've been accepting that, like, could be a lot better. So, yeah, I think it, like, high school just, it feels like I did the thing that was expected of me in a lot of ways. And I did it well, and so no one asked questions. And I didn't. Yeah.
Do you think you strive to, like, push past that, what's expected now? Do you think that was a major influencer in what you do today?
Well, I referenced it before, but I like surprising people. I like, you know, I'm a redneck. I grew up around here. Like, there's pieces, like, I drive a truck, and I like getting dirty, and, you know, all these things that people make fun of and that are, like, you know, these classist token and things that they don't like, you know, I'm like, that's me. That's, like, deeply in me, you know? Like, these are the things that taught me how to respect nature and taught me how to be here and taught me how to feel capable in my body, right? Like, it's, like, stuff that I'm, like, really grateful I had, as complicated as it is coming from here. Like, I like when I challenge on either side, like, what am I allowed to be here? You know, like, so, okay, so you think I'm this, but, like, we're all more than you think, all of us. And I love that. Like, I get such a kick out of it every time. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you wish that you could speak on, or is there anything else you want to talk about?
I feel curious. I want to ask y'all questions, but I know that's not the role here. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of cool things happening here. Like, there is a moment of sort of, like, energy and desire for people, and they're finding ways to, like, make really cool queer spaces that are intentionally queer. And to me, that feels like a really cool thing to know about this moment here, because it looks all sorts of different ways, right? Like, some of it is just, like, you know, we're going to work the land together, and some of it's, like, we're going to build community together, and some of it's, like, we're going to, you know, like, topple the baddies together. Like, there's just a lot of cool, there's a lot of cool pieces. But it feels like a moment to me that even a few years ago wasn't as possible. And I don't know if that reflects my own personal relationships that I've built here, probably, or a wider thing, but I get the sense that it's both, right? Like,
they're both important.
Both and, right? Like, I feel like this is a really, it's a special moment, and not, I don't think just here in, like, rural Virginia, but I think widely, like, the Southern queer movement feels really vital right now, and, like, for all the ways that, like, the repression of the last, like, administration and stuff was happening, I feel like it, like, I don't know, like, it lit this fire for people that I see actually, like, bearing fruit right now, you know? Like, it takes a while. It takes a minute. And, like, trying stuff out is hard, and, like, there's, like, quote-unquote failures, right? Or there's things that are sad, and, like, dealing with all that, and, yeah, but it feels like a cool moment, and I think that's fun to share. Like, I don't like this, just the sad version of, like, rural life. I think there's, like, a lot of really cool, special, uniquely rural queer stories that I feel excited to try to share, and that I'm curious to hear, right? Like, I want those around me, and I want to be making them too. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are there any spaces around here that you feel like you gear towards? Like, I know we talk about sometimes the park. Mm. In Roanoke, mm-hmm. but there's so many other spaces. Are there any that you feel mm-hmm. have really helped you, or you geared towards the most or go to the most?
Yeah. You know, I have friends who are farmers and, like, have really made beautiful spaces that are mostly queer. And, like, I think back to, like, 8-year-old me, right? Like, what would she have done if she got to go visit a farm like that? Like, it was a lot of my nostalgia, and, like, part of the reason I chose Floyd, like, during the pandemic is, like, I have really good memories of folks who, like, I saw making art, women in particular, making art and making a life that I was like, wow, you can do that? And I feel like that around here. I feel like people are doing that here in a way where they're not, like, hiding so much. Like, it's not, like, this hush-hush thing. It's, like, you know, there was, like, an openly queer flower farm duo, you know, that, like, grew their business through, like, not just in spite of, but in many ways because of, you know, like, you could have blown me over literally. Like, I just was like, whoa, like, what, you know? Like, it's just, there are so many, like, special ways that I see people doing stuff in different places. You know, I'm pretty careful. I don't, and also I'm not much of a bar person. So I think my places where I go look different, but yeah, I think, like, there's a lot of, like, really cool stuff happening, and I feel like it's much easier to, like, find it and to be connected to it through each other too. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that it's pushing past, like, just what you would see. It's, like, moving towards out of these, like, not in the box spaces. So, mm-hmm. like, looking into nature and, like, the farm, but that's really interesting to hear from someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, like, you know, too, I think that's what I want. I want my work to feel like that. And I think there's, like, so there's also Julie Ray Powers. They are from West Virginia and are working on a really cool project about queer Appalachian photographers. And projects like Looking at Appalachia, done by Roger May. There have been, like, a handful of things where, like, people are very intentionally including queer stories and wanting to, like, lift them up. And to me, like, it's not a physical space, but if there's kids getting to see this, or even adults like myself, right, I do think there's, like, a retroactive sort of, like, calming that happens of, like, yeah, you know, like, this is, like, really encouraging to see and exciting. So, yeah, I think I look at that, like, not just as, like, physical spaces, but also other places where people are just doing cool things. Awesome. Yeah.
I don't believe I have any other questions, but thank you so much for sharing all that you did. It
yeah.
was super eye-opening just for us as well, so
yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to be here.